Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the second and third Mishnah of the sixth chapter of Bava Metzia, and we continue with cases where people digress or change from what they had contracted to do. So, Hasocher et ha'umnin v'chazru bahen yadan al hatachtona. This is a case where a person hired a contractor, and the contractor started to work, as opposed to the previous Mishnah where you fired them or they quit before. And then the contractor quit while the work was partially done, then the person who quit, or the contractors who quit, have a financial disadvantage. Yadan al hatachtona literally means their hand is on the bottom, but it means they are at a financial disadvantage. And what that means is as follows. There are two possibilities. Either the market went up, which means the price of doing contract work increased, or the price of doing contract work decreased. And before I get into the details, this is an interesting thing about Jewish law. If somebody does work for you, even if they wound up being a jerk because they quit, but they still did work for you that you wanted to have them done, you have to pay them. So if they did 50% of your deck, you have to pay them 50% of the price that you promised a contract, even though they quit. Ah, then where's the disadvantage? So here's the disadvantage. Let's say they did 50% of your deck, which they originally contracted for at $1,000 for the whole thing. So theoretically, you owe them $500. But what happens? The price for contractors for decks has gone from $1,000 to $1,500, or a $500 increase for the full job. Which, by the way, is probably why they quit, because they didn't want to, because they could get the next 50% of work at $750 rather than the $500 that you were going to pay them for the second 50% of the work. So what's going to happen? You, the owner of the house, the person who wants the deck built or whatever it is, you're going to have to pay $750 for the other 50%, because $750 is half of the $1,500 that it now costs to hire the contractors. So we're going to get that extra $250 from. So the answer is you're going to stop the pay. You're going to take it out of the pay of the people who quit on you. What does that mean? You pay the people $500 because they did 50% of your work and they contracted it at $1,000 for the whole work. Fine. You then have to pay $750 for the other 50% of the work, which now has gone up to $1,500 for the whole work. You're out $250 more than you were planning, $1,250. So you give the first guys the $500, but what you do is you garnish their check for $250. For the amount that they cost you to pay extra. So now you're only going to pay $250 to the original guy. You're going to pay $750 to the new guy, which means you're only out the original $1,000, and who pays for it? The workers, the first workers pay for it. You pay them the $500, and then you take away $250 to pay for what they cost you. Now, how does it work if the market goes down? Well, it's interesting. If the market, so let's say the market started off at $1,000. So the guy, the first contractors, the one who were about to quit on you, they did 50% and they quit. You have to give them $500. That's the bottom line. You can now hire workers. Let's say that now a deck only goes for $500. So the next workers have to come, and they do only half of a deck, which means you only have to pay them $250. So you only paid $500 to the first guys and $250 to the last guys. So for whatever reason, these contractors, I don't know why they quit, but they quit. They actually saved you $250. So you might think they could say to you, listen, you were willing to pay $1,000. We saved you $250. We did you a favor. So therefore, we want the extra $250 so that you will wind up paying the same $1,000 you planned all along. But the answer is no, the yad is on a tachtona, they are at a financial disadvantage, and they cannot get that. They get their 50%, fair and square, but they cannot ask for any more, even though the second guys that you hire, you only have to pay $250 to work the second 50% of the contract. And now the other way. Im balabayit chozer bo, if the owner, the one who hired the guys, fires them, if he goes back on the deal, after they already started, yado, then his hand is al hatachtona, he's at a disadvantage. Now, this does not make sense if the market goes up, because there's no way you're going to fire somebody and then hire somebody new when you know that they're going to charge you more money. But what happens if the market goes down? Now, the reason why you fire them if the market goes down is because you can find new people to finish the second 50% of the deck, or 25% or 75% of the deck, whatever it is, for less money. So let's say the first guys did 50% of the job, they get 50% of the pay, and that you know. But the second guy is you contract for less, for $250, which means instead of costing you $1,000, it now only costs $750, and you make $250. No, you don't. Your yad is al hatachtonah, you're at a financial disadvantage, you have to take that $250 and give it to the first contractors that you fired. And it makes sense, by the way, not really just from a punitive sense, but the contractors that you fired are now going to have to find another job. And they're going to be paid only half of what they were expecting because the market's gone down, which means you will have cost them for that half of the money. So you're actually giving them that extra money for the losses they'll take when they try to find another job after the market is down. But the bottom line is, you do not make a profit. If you were planning on spending $1,000 and you thought you could fire guys and therefore only have to spend $750, you're going to spend that $1,000 anyway. Then the Mishnah says, "Kol ha'mashana yado ha'tachtona." Anybody who changes anything, they're at a financial disadvantage. The Gemara explains this is a new case of where somebody did something different in the contracting process from what you planned. The Gemara talks about a case where you give somebody wool, plain wool, to dye, and you ask them, let's say, to dye it red, and they went all emo on you and they dyed it black, or vice versa. It doesn't make a difference. So there are two possibilities. Either because of their change of the color or whatever they did to it, it improved the quality. And if it did, they can't come back to you and say, hey, red scarves are in today, or let's say black scarves, black is the new red. So therefore, everybody's paying for this, and therefore I actually made you money because I'm going to give you a scarf that you could resell on eBay for twice the amount of money, and therefore I want that profit. And the answer is no. They only get the expenses because the guy changed from what he was supposed to do. And then the other way also works. Let's say that black scarves are all the rage, and he made a red scarf, and nobody wants red scarves, are not worth anything. So you pay him the market value, which is almost nothing, and not the expenses, assuming that the expenses were more. And now the Mishnah closes up and seems to repeat itself. Anybody who backs out of a deal, yado al hatachtonah, then he is at a disadvantage. So the question is, what's the difference between that case and the first two cases in the Mishnah? So the Gemara explains that this has to do with a land purchase, and whoever backs out is at a disadvantage. So here's what happens. If a buyer puts down a payment of, let's say, $50,000 for land costing $100,000, they put a 50% down payment, and then the buyer backs out of the deal. They can't back out so fast. It's up to the owner. If the owner wants, they could force the buyer to take possession of 50% of the property. You pay me $50,000, half the property, fine. Here's half of my fields. Tough luck. Or if he wants to keep the fields because he figured he'd get a better price someplace else, he'd give him back the money. He is at the advantage, and the buyer who backed away from it is at a disadvantage. Conversely, if the seller backs out, then the seller can't just toss the money back. If the buyer wants the money back, the buyer can take the money back because it was the seller that went back on the deal. On the other hand, if the buyer says, listen, I'm not taking the $50,000 back, I'll take half of your land. That's fine. If I can't get the whole thing, I'll take half of it. That's his choice because he has the advantage and the seller who backed down has the disadvantage. And now on to Mishnah Gimel, which has more cases where one of the parties, in this case a renter or a leaser really, changes the understood conditions that were part of that rental on the lease. And I'd like to digress a little bit and talk about the different cases in the Mishnah. At face value, it looks like each case is just a whole bunch of cases that just happen to be what happened at the time. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the author of the Mishnah, is just giving you all kinds of random cases, and they're all kind of related. So that's not really the good way to approach Mishnah. What happens with Mishnah is every case has an aspect to it that a different Mishnah had. That is, what we're about to learn about somebody changing the conditions of the contract, you would not have been able to deduce what the law was based on everything you had learned up to this point. That's more of a Gemara thing. But it's good to understand that the cases aren't really cases that you could abstract them out to they having specific properties which need to be understood, because a different type of case would not allow you to understand how to rule, because the very underlying principles are different, not just the case, but the principles. And that's enough of a digression. Let's get back to the actual Mishnah. Mishnah Gimel. Hasofer et hachamor l'holicha bahar, v'holicha b'bika, or b'bika v'holicha bahar. So you hired a donkey. I guess today it would be like a rental car, but back then you hired a donkey, and the goal of a donkey was to put a burden on it and then to walk it through a place, to take it from one place to the other, like a moving van. And you had contracted out, you had rented it to carry it through the mountains, up in the mountains. And instead you took it down to the valley, where the owner did not want you to go, or you told the owner you weren't going to go. Or conversely, if you took it, if you had rented it to take it through a valley and you decided to take the mountain road, even if the same distances are, whether you go over the mountain or whether you go through the valley, it's 10, a mil is actually closer to a kilometer in Gemara's terminology, or Gemara's measurements. So if the animal dies during that process, you're chayiv. You've got to pay the guy back the animal. Now, the Gemara on this is very complex for reasons which you'll see when we read the last part of the Mishnah. And that's because the last part of the Mishnah seems to disagree with this part of the Mishnah. The assumption of this part of the Mishnah is, no matter what you do, no matter what the animal dies of, because you changed the stipulated agreement, you take complete responsibility regardless of what the cause of the death of the animal is. We'll see later in the Mishnah that it kind of disagrees with that. The question is, how is that possible? Because it's not like we have two rabbis saying the Tanakhama says this and Rabbi Gamliel says something else. These are both, it all looks like the Tanakhama, and yet the beginning of the Mishnah seems to say that the cause of death makes no difference when you change a contract, and later on in the Mishnah it will say that it does make a difference, so we'll take a look at that later. But and so the Gemara goes into it, but as I mentioned before, it's not a Gemara class, so we'll just have to read it close to face value. But now the Gemara will go into some situations where you are responsible, different situations. Asokar et hachamor v'ivrika. So if you rented a donkey, and one good translation is it got worms in its legs, it couldn't do the job because it was actually diseased. Oshinasi dangaria, very interesting. You were taking the donkey, and a general show up, or the army, or the government shows up and says, we need that donkey for our caravan. So essentially they do eminent domain, and they take it away. In that case, omer lo hari shochala fanecha. So the renter says to the guy who rented it to him, why don't you go get it yourself? It's not my problem. Well, in the second case, because he really wasn't his problem, it was a complete and total unexpected situation where the government shows up and I want that donkey. Now, the Gemara will get in situations, could you hide it, could you not hide it? But the bottom line is, it's not the guy's fault. He couldn't have expected that to happen. And apparently with the wormy legs as well. However, meito nishbra, but if it broke, as opposed to going wormy, which may have been a pre-existing condition, but nishbra, it broke or it died, chayav lamid lo chamor, then you are responsible to give him another chamor. And now we get to the second part of the Mishnah, which disagrees with the first part. So, you rented a donkey to take it up the mountains, and you took it down in the valleys. So now, it's going to depend on how it dies. If it slipped, you do not have to pay, and that's because it slipped in the valley where you weren't supposed to take it. But if it slipped in the valley where you certainly weren't going to take it, it certainly would have slipped in the mountain where you were supposed to take it. And therefore, it was a fait accompli, and you're not responsible because it wouldn't have happened had you taken it. Would have happened had you taken the mountain also. However, but if it overheated, then it's only overheating because you're in the dense valley air as opposed to the nice fresh air of the mountains, and then you are responsible. And the opposite case works as well. If you had rented it to take into the valley, you had rented to take it to a valley. You took it up in the mountain. If it slips, then you are responsible. That's because the mountain road is much more treacherous. But if it overheats, then you're potter, because if it overheated up in the nice air of the mountain, then it certainly would have overheated down in the valley. Now you, of course, are thinking, well, maybe it overheated from the incline, that it had to climb the mountain. But the Mishnah points out, in Machmar Hamala, if the donkey died because of overheating, but it didn't die up in the mountains from the mountains, but it died on the way up the mountains, then you're chayiv. Rashi, Tosfot, the Gemara, everything goes into how do you know such a thing, at what point does it have to die. All of that is very interesting, but outside the scope of our Mishnah Shiur.